As I mentioned before, I use Institute for Digital Arts and Humanities, started in 2007 because the provost at the time, Michael McRobbie, had requested it. He's now our president. And the founding director was Ruth Stone, who was also the co-PI on a project called the Ethnographic Video Instruction for Analysis Digital Archive. Get all of that out, or EVIA, which is easier to say. At the time, or actually before that, I myself had been at the Mellon Foundation working with Don Waters, and I had been the program officer for the EVIA project, so I actually knew that project very well and kind of shepherded them, IU and Michigan, their partner, through that project. This gives you a little bit of background, kind of why I'm at IU at this point, too. So Ruth is not a programmer. She's an ethnomusicologist, a senior professor at IU, and also is associate vice provost for research for the arts. Actually, IDA, the Institute for Digital Arts and Humanities, is situated under the Office of the Vice Provost for Research and is one of a large number of centers that OVPR sponsors. It was started in 2007 as a partnership between OVPR, the Digital Library Program, which is, of course, part of IU's libraries, and University Information Technology Services unit called the Advanced Visualization Laboratory. And we are situated physically in the library, and actually the library gives us space, so we do not have to pay rent. We also have a fully equipped facility, video conference facility, and all of that equipment was purchased for us by UITS, University Information Technology Services. So from the beginning, this has been a really collaborative effort, an inter-unit collaborative effort on the Indiana University Bloomington campus. And it's important to remember this is Bloomington, not all eight campuses of the IU system. At least at this point. The idea originally, and which still holds, is that the approach was three-pronged. One was simply outreach, which we're fulfilling through brown bags and presentations at various conferences, mostly on campus. The second is faculty fellowships, which continue. And the third is technology development for various projects being developed around the campus. And you go to the second slide. This is the second of only three slides. So, I wanted to show you this. This is sort of our postcard and poster represents us. And I decided to show this slide because it represents the range of fellows projects that we support. The top one is work by an artist at IU who works with 3D modeling and then also 3D printing. Those are all produced by 3D modeling and then a 3D printer. And the Advanced Visualization Lab actually purchased that printer not only for her use, but for use among other faculty, but her work with IDA actually stimulated the idea of purchasing the 3D printer. In the beginning, the university was very, very interested in trying to support faculty projects with equipment. And, of course, that's a very expensive piece of equipment. This second one, this is over in the lower left-hand corner, is a multimedia performance in which one of IU's computer music faculty participated. He was one of our fellows. And this was done with a lighting designer from the theater department and other people. He was also aided by equipment purchased by IDA to help him with his project. The third, this is the Swinburne Archive. This is being worked on by one of our ex-fellows who is in the School of Library and Information Sciences and who is a specialist in Victorian literature. All three of these people, these were our first three fellows, and they came to IDA with pretty extensive experience either with programming or at least knowing how to work the equipment. And they were actually pretty independent. The fellowships at that point provided two course releases over 2 years. And these three people pretty much took their course releases and the help from either for equipment or from Hewitts for equipment and pretty much did their thing. They didn't really need a huge amount of help from the IDA core staff, although a couple of them, the artist and also the computer composer, worked with the Advanced Visualization Lab on their projects. And the Advanced Visualization Lab provided help through base funding. But really, you know, we didn't really have to, or the IDA, I wasn't there at the time, did not really have to engage with them extensively. They attended seminars, faculty seminars that we have for the fellows, and enjoyed the interaction with other fellows and other staff in IDA. But, you know, we really, early in this, you know, they really didn't need too much help. The other interesting thing about this is that at the beginning, the idea for the funding model down the line was that there would be 3 years of base funding for IDA that would go through fiscal year 10, which ended on June 30th, 2010. And by that point, the fellows were supposed to be generating external funding that would, for the most part, support the unit. None of these three people applied for grants, so that didn't work out. We had a second cohort of fellows come in January 2009 for 2 years. Not all of them have applied for funding either. A couple have. One was rejected. The couple others we haven't heard about yet, and at any rate have applied for very small amounts of funding, some of which requires pretty extensive cost share. So what we've discovered about this is that having the faculty fellows generate external funding that's going to support the unit is really not going to be a workable model. During this period of time, we got into another set of activities, and this is the technology development activity I was talking about. If we can go to the next slide. And amazingly enough, in the three and a half years or so that IDA's been in existence, we've actually managed to get into a number of campus projects. And this was really because of that center project there. Again, this is the Ethnographic Video for Instruction and Analysis, or EVIA. This was the anchor project, and of course that would make sense because Ruth was the co-PI on it. As they were finishing up their Mellon grant, she brought the staff into IDA to finish up the grant with the idea that staff would then transfer or, you know, morph into, I guess, IDA staff working on other projects. The technology that was developed for EVIA, which is the annotator's workbench that enables segmenting and annotation of field videos, was usable for other projects. And so this generated other work on the campus. This top one, the Global Leaders Network, is a business school project, a Kelley Business School project. This is an archive of videos by important business leaders internationally. The next two, the Central American and Mexican Video Archive and also the Cultural and Linguistic Archive of Mesoamerica, are from the Center for Latin American and Caribbean Studies. And these are both archives from the field, again, in Central and Latin. At any rate, we have to wrap up. Sorry. So at any rate, the rest of these projects, and you know, you can ask me about them later, are all related to the EVIA project. They're all externally grant-funded, and we have been drawing, in most cases, some grant funds from those projects. But in some cases, we are on for cost share. So we've been able to pay for basically for about 1.5 FTE of developer time through those grants. Again, we're not finding that there's really a workable model for funding through grants. And right now I'm working with the administration on how to move forward with the funding model.